We regret the need for tuning out this program at this particular moment, but other plans are underway. This is WJR, the Goodwill Station, in the Fisher Building, Detroit.
Our next program is in celebration of Lamp Day, direct from the laboratory of Thomas Alva Edison, Edison Institute. We take you now to Greenfield Village, Dearborn, Michigan.
Good afternoon, everyone. John Eccles speaking to you from Menlo Park, the Edison Institute, Greenfield Village. In the original laboratory of Thomas Alva Edison, to whom this institute is dedicated and in whose memory it was founded, we celebrate Lamp Day, the light which did not fail, which lighted the world to new happiness, new endeavor, was created on this day 57 years ago. October 21st, 1879, dawned as the day on which Thomas Alva Edison was to gain that goal for which he had so striven, the first practical incandescent lamp. October 21st, 1929, the 50th anniversary of the electric light, was celebrated here at Menlo Park. Thomas Edison himself was president on that occasion, standing here in his own laboratory among those utensils with which he had so long labored, with his loyal assistant, Mr. Francis Yale, at his side. The president of the United States, Mr. Herbert Hoover, had come here to do Mr. Edison honor. The most distinguished men of his country gathered. The voice of radio, which Edison himself helped to make audible, carried the story of the celebration around the world. Today, as we again celebrate Lamp Day, time has laid its hand quietly across the sea. The Edison Laboratory is unchanged, but an empty chair drawn close to the pump bespeaks mutely the presence of the inventor, of the man who watched calmly, patiently, with anxiety turning to elation, through those hours of October 19, 1879, to October 21st, 1879, as success or failure, light or darkness, hung in the balance of a fragile globe of glass. The inventor is gone, yet familiar hands attend the all-important vacuum pump, care for the globe, the last Edison made, which stands in its small circle at the end of the pump. Francis Yale, now 76, stands near the tall glass tube mounted on the high oak board. Edison's assistant recounts his memories to Duncan Moore.
Mr. Yale, in this Faust-like laboratory with all its weird mechanism and its rows of mysterious jars and bottles and instruments, all of these things, which to the lay mind are like the fittings of the secret places of magicians and wizards of old, a good was created which our world has yet to know fully. Even today, we haven't realized what it means when Mr. Edison made electric light a practical commodity.
We would realize better if we had lived in those days of gas, candle, and kerosene illumination.
Well, we know, of course, that this laboratory stands in every detail just as it was when Mr. Edison used it.
Yes, Mr. Edison told us he could not have made it better himself.
And I see the organ there, just like the organ which I believe you told me was installed during Mr. Edison's lifetime as a gift to him, and which provided such relaxing, cheerful hours for the inventor and his assistants. Mayn't we hear it again?
Yes, this organ has an electric pump, though in those days we pumped it by hand.
And that clock which struck the hour of three just as we entered the laboratory, that is identical to the clock which Edison heard as he waked?
Yes, it was found fittingly enough in Milan, Ohio, where the wizard was born.
In this laboratory of Mr. Edison, which is so full of practical magic, and in the air of which we seem to feel a respect, a universal gratitude, which makes us feel reverent, just a wee bit choked with emotion. I don't think you might expect some further magic to occur. What, for example, if those scenes of more than half a century ago were to take place before our eyes? If that night of vigil were to be held again, the excitement and elation of that great achievement experienced?
It was in this chair, in this identical spot, wasn't it, that Mr. Edison sat?
That chair is in the exact position.
You, Francis Yale, Mr. Batchelor, another of Mr. Edison's assistants, and Mr. Edison himself were beginning your watch on the night of October the 20th. The lamp, which had been constructed with a filament of carbonized sewing thread, and which seemed to you then not different to the many unsuccessful lamps that had been constructed previously, this lamp then already had burned more than 30 hours. And now, though there had been no difference in the beginning, your spirits were rising. You were becoming excited and elated because the lamp, seemingly without flaw, had burned longer than any previous one.
I'll lay a bet, Mr. Wilson, that it'll burn 10 hours longer.
And I'll bet 20 hours, Mr. Edison.
You're right. I agree with you. It has burned more than 30 hours now.
And still no flaws. The carbonized sewing thread filament seems to work better than anything else you've tried.
It burned all Sunday night, held out Monday night. Now, here's 30 hours gone, and Tuesday's beginning.
The death watch.
It'll keep burning. I think this one's going to be all right.
Did you say death watch, Francis? You and I will keep it again. But I have a feeling that this lamp is going to live.
One o'clock, 2 o'clock, an all-night vigil in Tuesday, October the 21st, dawned a fair autumn day. At noontime, the lamp was still burning. The small hand of the clock completed another revolution. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and still the lamp burned.
Gentlemen, that lamp has burned since Sunday night. It is now Tuesday afternoon. It has burned more than 40 hours. If it will burn that number of hours now, I know I can make it burn 100.
Thomas Alva Edison had snatched up the spark of Prometheus in a little pear-shaped glass bulb. Fire had been discovered for the second time. Mankind had been delivered again from the curse of night. It is good that Mr. Edison lived to see so much of the wonder he had wrought, to see homes brilliant with light, to see darkness rolled back from towns and cities and villages, to see across his country the windows of farmhouses agleam with lighted hospitality. It is good that his reward was to hear the hum of the great industrial dynamos from east to west, from north to south, that he realized generations yet unborn would render him their deep gratitude. A half century passed, eventful, crowded years, from that night of October 21st, 1879. Menlo Park, New Jersey, has become Menlo Park, the Edison Institute, Greenfield Village, thoughtfully preserved here for generations to come. October 21st, 1929, in company with the President of the United States, Mr. Herbert Hoover, and with other distinguished persons, Mr. Edison returns to the scenes of his experiments and triumphs. His laboratory has been restored and preserved in every detail, and he's greeted by his assistant, Francis Yale.
Mr. Yale, it must have been a great joy to Mr. Edison to come back here to his own laboratory on that occasion in October of 29, when the entire world celebrated the 50th anniversary of Lamp Day.
He was very touched.
And that scene, too, comes back before our eyes. As we gaze from the windows, Mr. Edison and his party are approaching in one of the horse-drawn carriages of Greenfield Village. They dismount before those wooden steps and walk across that narrow porch. And at the flight of those steps leading upstairs to this laboratory, Mr. Edison chuckles softly to himself. He's recalling how he would slip away into that little hiding place down beneath the stairs to steal a few hours' rest. Then he climbs the stairs, his face smiling, alight, as he reaches the top and looks about this laboratory, seeing everything just as it was in those days of work and endeavor and hope and often disappointment at Menlo Park. He noticed that old notebook which lies on the table there, just where he placed it. He glances through its pages, and then he turns to his mortar. That is the identical mortar, isn't it, which Mr. Edison used?
Yes. It was thrown away. But when Menlo Park was reconstructed, Mr. Henry Ford himself found the pieces and put them together. The bowl is very precious, Mr. Moore.
Sure it is. What comment did Mr. Edison make as he entered the laboratory, Mr. Yale?
He said that everything was just the same as at Menlo Park. Everything excepting the floor.
Except the floor?
Yes, he said the floor was much cleaner than it used to be.
Oh, I see. And then as you, Mr. Yale, talked with Mr. Edison, you began the reenactment of those scenes when the first practical incandescent light became a reality?
I told Mr. Edison that I thought the lamp had a good vacuum. He picked up these two small wires to heat the filament in the bulb. He wasn't quite satisfied that the lamp was ready. But then he seated himself in this chair and watched as the organ began to play. In a few minutes, Mr. Edison tested the bulb again. He was satisfied this time, and we sealed the bulb. It is here, Mr. Moore. The last Mr. Edison made. And then I stepped to the table and turned on the battery current. When he came back, he picked up two small wires again, just as I do now, and made the connection. The lamp was lighted.
And then?
He turned to the president, to the others with him in the room, and shook hands.
And then the celebration we all remember. A triumphant outburst of noise broke out. Lights flashed in Menlo Park, throughout Greenfield Village, across the nation, a blaze of light, a glorious salute to the man who gave us light, Thomas Alva Edison.
That celebration was shared by the entire nation. The voice of radio rang out from this room around the world in these words. I can imagine New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlantic City, St. Louis, San Francisco, all the cities of the country, big and small, as they come out of darkness into light. I can imagine all of you about your radios now turning on your electric lights and joining in this great celebration in honor of the great hero of peace and progress.
Richard Rogers Boker wrote a poem to Menlo Park on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of Lamp Day. On this site, half a century since, the searching brain, the patient hand, began their work to find and wield the latent powers nature still held in store. Today, a million men at rise of sun march to the workshops of the world, their tread a pen to the chief whose wizardry made live the whirring wheels, the vibrant wires, and woke new powers of service for the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Menlo Park is, as we have seen it this afternoon, held in trust for America of the future. It is an inspiration, a symbol of man's service to his fellow man. Thank you, Mr. Yale, for being so generous in sharing your wonderful memories of Mr. Edison.
Today, in celebration of Lamp Day, honored the world over as the day on which Thomas Alva Edison created the first practical incandescent lamp, we have paid this tribute to the immortal inventor and recreated scenes from his life. In conversation with Duncan Moore, you heard Mr. Francis Yale, Mr. Edison's assistant during the inventor's lifetime, and who now cares for his laboratory here at Menlo Park. The scenes were reenacted by the Mummers under the direction of Charles Penman. This is John Eccles speaking. We return you now to Detroit.
WJR, the Goodwill Station, Detroit.